This is All Things Considered on VPR. I'm Henry Epp. The alleged murder of George Floyd has prompted a flurry of police reform legislation across the country. And Vermont is one of 16 states considering bills that would address accountability and transparency for law enforcement. On Tuesday, the Vermont Senate approved two bills related to use of force policies, data collection, and body cameras. But law enforcement officials and even some police reform advocates say lawmakers may be moving too quickly. VPR's Peter Hirschfeld has been following the debate, and he's here to bring us up to speed. Hey, Pete.
Hi, Henry.
So, Pete, first, give us a quick overview of what was in the bills that the Senate just passed.
There are a number of provisions in these bills, Henry, but I'll hit on some of the ones that are drawing the most attention. One bill would create a new statewide policy for when police can use lethal force on a person, and it makes some subtle but potentially substantive changes to the statutory threshold that a situation has to reach before police officers can use lethal means to defuse a perceived threat. Another bill would impose an absolute ban on the use of chokeholds and other neck restraints by police. It creates a new felony crime punishable by up to 20 years in prison for police brutality. It mandates the use of body cameras by Vermont State Police. And another provision would create new financial penalties for police departments in Vermont that are not in compliance with data collection requirements that were first put in place in 2014. And as you know, those data points have been useful in terms of teasing out racial disparities in police work.
Yeah. Well, Commissioner of Public Safety Michael Sherling has raised concerns on behalf of law enforcement about some of these measures. So what exactly is he objecting to?
So Michael Sherling says police are on board with these reforms generally, but he says some of the language in the bills is problematic. For instance, he says most departments already ban chokeholds, but he says they should be allowed in rare instances, specifically when lethal force is warranted, but a cop can't use his or her firearm because there are too many bystanders nearby, for example. Sherling's main concern, though, seems to relate to this new use of force policy. Right now, the standard for determining whether lethal force is warranted is based on whether or not their action was, quote, objectively reasonable. This bill, which borrows language from legislation passed in California recently, would also require that the use of lethal force be, quote, necessary as it relates to eliminating an imminent threat of serious bodily injury or death to a police officer or another person. Sherling says this new statutory term is going to upend decades of case law and will create a really confusing and untested legal environment that could lead to some unintended consequences.
It will create havoc in training and havoc in, frankly, an exposure to taxpayers. It'll be a boon for trial lawyers to just essentially create an interesting area of new litigation without any substantive changes to the outcomes of these events, which is what we're trying to get to.
But so it's not just law enforcement that's pushing back a bit on this. The bills have also drawn some scrutiny from proponents of criminal justice reform. So where are they saying that the legislation is falling short?
Yeah, you're right about that, Henry. There are concerns from groups like the ACLU of Vermont, the Vermont Human Rights Commission, that the legislation doesn't go far enough. They want a higher threshold for use of force, for example. They want clear and robust operational policies for body cameras. They want civilian oversight of police agencies. But the overriding concern that I've begun to hear relates to the process by which this legislation is being crafted. And Kaya Morris, who's a former legislator herself, who now works for an organization called Rights and Democracy, addressed this during her testimony to two House committees earlier today.
While this moment in time creates a natural urgency to act, the specific action should not be finalized without deep community input and design. This means that those most impacted need to lead the design process, not just provide testimony, but as peers and subject matter experts of their own experiences.
Kaya Morris says lawmakers and police are playing an outsized role in developing these bills. And she and other police reform advocates say the legislature needs to hit the brakes on these bills and bring in representatives from marginalized communities that are affected by the systemic racism that this bill ultimately aims to address. She says those are the voices that need to drive this conversation. And she says the legislature can't hope to get it right if they're not a part of it.
Yeah. Well, so this has now gone through the Senate. Where are these reform bills headed next?
The House is scheduled to adjourn for several weeks at the end of June. There are a number of lawmakers who really want to get these bills passed before that happens. But pushback against some of the provisions may compel the legislature to rethink that timeline. If these bills do pass before the end of next week, my guess is they're going to get scaled back significantly in order to address some of the outstanding concerns we just talked about.
All right. That's VPR reporter Peter Hirschfeld. Pete, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Henry.